This coming week is Catholic Skills Week. So first, a brief testimonial about the value of Catholic schools. I'm a graduate of St. Mary's Catholic School in Garden City. And when I was 5 years old, we lived 6 miles in the country, north of Garden City. And when I was five, they built a brand new public school across the road from our farm. And I'd say from our front door to the front door of that school is maybe 400 yards, maybe two city blocks at most. If I went to that school, I would have been the only kid that walked to school, because everybody else was bussed in, being a country school, and some came from 20, 25 miles away to be bussed into that school, which is still there and still operating. So I got a brand new school right across the road from where I live, public school. So what did my parents do? For the next 8 years, they drive me 6 miles to town to go to the Catholic school at St. Mary's, and came back at night to pick me up. And then in turn, my sister and brothers as well, as they came after me. They saw the value of Catholic education. They saw the value, which to them was more important than the convenience of just having their kid walk out the front door and across the road. To them, the value of Catholic school, they made that sacrifice of driving all those miles, all those years. And of course, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but later on, I appreciated the quality education I got and also appreciated the Catholic education I got from that school. If you've been to a wedding any time in the last many years, there's a good chance you heard that second reading that was proclaimed to us this morning from the 13th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, the great, beautiful, poetic description of what love is and what love is not. Many a bride and groom picked that as part of their scripture readings for the wedding, which is a good choice. But St. Paul didn't have a wedding in mind when he wrote that. He didn't have directly in mind a bride and a groom when he wrote that. He had in mind all the people who proclaimed to be Christian. That letter is not written just for brides and grooms. It is, they're included, but it's written for everybody who proclaims to be a follower of Christ. That's the kind of love we're supposed to live. Not only brides and grooms, husbands and wives are supposed to live that kind of love. All of us, regardless of our age, regardless of our vocation, are called to live the kind of love that Paul proclaims in that beautiful passage that we just heard. And being a very, very common one that I've heard many, many times, not just at weddings, but other places as well, I'm still surprised that I read it again and all of a sudden a line that I never even remember being there shows up. And that happened this week when I looked ahead to this Sunday's readings. There's a line that I'm sure has always been there. I'm sure they didn't add it just lightly. But it's a line about love rejoices with the truth. One of the lines that's in the middle of that big, that wonderful description of what love is. Love rejoices with the truth. Early in Jesus' public ministry, which here in the gospel, we find that people aren't ready to accept the truth. Jesus proclaiming repentance for sins. Jesus proclaiming their need to repent from their sins and return again wholeheartedly to the Lord. And people are not filled with love for that truth. They're not rejoicing over that truth. They reject it, so much so that they're ready to throw Jesus over the cliff. They don't want to hear what he has to say, so they want to get rid of the messenger. You heard the expression, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Society's changed in many ways since the time of Jesus, but human beings have not changed that much because we're still pretty much the same way. Jesus tells us, challenges us to reform our lives, and we don't want to hear it. We don't rejoice in that truth. Is it because we don't love Jesus enough? Is it because we don't love the truth enough? In our world, it's still filled with false claims, distortions of reality, self-serving propaganda, political spin, perjury, all different ways of saying lying. Our world is filled with non-truth or half-truths, and we still like to follow them because we prefer that truth because it's ours, and we're in love with ourselves and our own truth as opposed to being in love with Christ and his truth. We'd rather have things our way instead of God's way. And that's simply a description of what original sin is about. The human race decided that whatever God had in store, we've got a better plan. God's truth is okay, maybe for some people, but not for me. I've got a better idea of what's right and wrong. I've got a better idea what's right for me and right for everybody else. My truth is more important than God's truth. And then we find ourselves not rejoicing and find ourselves in trouble because we've rejected the truth instead of loving it and rejoicing in the truth. We ask, Lord, today to help us to return to love not just Him, but love the truth that He proclaims, to love not just our God, but to love the truth that God gives us through Jesus. Do I love Jesus enough to believe and trust in the truth that He believes in? In John's Gospel, Jesus tells us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And one follows the other to follow the way, the truth, and life. We have to listen and accept the truth that Jesus gives us. To accept the love and to experience the joy here in this world and in the next, we have to follow the truth and listen to the truth that Jesus proclaims. So today, instead of trying to throw Jesus over the cliff, let's try to bring Him closer into our hearts and listen and follow the truth that He proclaims to us.